Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Text 19 from Canto 5, Chapter 10. Aham cha yogeshwaram atma tattva.
Aham cha yogeshwaram atma tattva.
Idam smuni nam paramam gurum vai.
Idam smuni nam paramam gurum vai.
Prashtum pravrittakim iharanam tat.
Prashtum pravrittakim iharanam tat.
Sakshadarim jnana kalavatirnam. Aham cha yogeshwaram atma tattva.
Aham cha yogeshwaram atma tattva.
Vedamuni nam paramam gurum vai.
Vedamuni nam paramam gurum vai.
Pushtum pravritta kim aharanam tat.
Pushtum pravritta kim aharanam tat.
Sakshadarim jnana kalavatirnam.
Sakshadarim jnana kalavatirnam.
Aham cha yogeshwaram atma tattva.
Vidam muninam param gurum vai.
Prashtam
pratevat kim iharanam tat.
Prashtam pratevat kim iharanam tat.
Saksadharim jnanakalavatirnam.
Saksadharim jnanakalavatirnam.
Aham cha yogeshwaram atma tattva.
Vidam muninam paramam gurum vai.
Prashtum pravrittakim
iharanam tat. Sakshadharim jnana kalavatirnam.
Aham cha
yogeshwaram atma tattva.
Vidam
muni nam paramam gurum vai. Prashtum pravritta kim iharanam tat. Sakshadharim jnana kalavatirnam. Ladies. Aham cha yogeshwaram atma tattva.
Vidam muni nam paramam gurum vai. Prashtum pravrittakim iharanam tat. Sakshadharim jnana kalavatirnam. Aham cha yogeshwaram atma tattva. Vidam muni nam paramam gurum vai. Prashtum pravrittakim iharanam tat. Sakshadharim jnana kalavatirnam.
Aham. Cha and Yoga Ishwaram, the master of all mystic power. Atma Tattva Vidam of the learned scholars who are aware of the spiritual science. Muninam of such saintly persons. Paramam, the best. Gurum, the preceptor. Vai, indeed. Prashtum, to inquire. Pravrittak, engaged. Kim, what? Iha, in this world. aranam, the most secure shelter. Tat, that which. Sakshat Harim, directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jnanakala Avatirnam, who has descended as the incarnation of complete knowledge in his plenary portion known as Kapiladeva. Translation, I consider your good self the most exalted master of mystic power. You know the spiritual science perfectly well. You are the most exalted of all learned sages, and you have descended for the benefit of all human society. You have come to give spiritual knowledge, and you are a direct representative of Kapiladeva, the incarnation of God, and the plenary portion of knowledge. I am therefore asking you, O spiritual master, what is the most secure shelter in this world? A nice question. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham bhagatenantaratvana shradhavan bhajate yomam samayuktaktamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Bhagavad Gita 6:47. Jad Bharat was a perfect yogi. He was formerly the Emperor Bharat Maharaj, and he was now the most exalted personality among learned sages and the master of all mystic powers. Although Jad Bharat was an ordinary living entity, he had inherited all the knowledge given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapiladeva. He could, therefore, be taken directly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his stanzas in the spiritual, to the spiritual master, Sakshadhari Tvainasa Master Shastra. An exalted personality like Jad Bharat is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he fully represents the Lord by giving knowledge to others. Jad Bharat is herein accepted as the direct representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he was imparting knowledge on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Maharaj Rahugana concluded that it was appropriate to ask him about Atma-tattva, the spiritual science. Tad-vijñānārthaṁ sagurum eva bhigacchet. This Vedic injunction is also confirmed herein. If anyone is at all interested in knowing the spiritual science, Brahma-jigyāsā, he must approach a guru like Jad Bharat. Aham cha yogeshwaram atma tattvam vidam muninam paramam gurum vai prashtum pravrittakim aharanam tat sakshat dharim jnana kalavatirnam. Maharaj Rahugana is speaking to Jad Bharat saying, I consider your good self the most exalted master of mystic power. You know the spiritual science perfectly well. You are the most exalted of all learned sages, and you have descended for the benefit of all human society. You've come to give spiritual knowledge, and you are a direct representative of Kapiladeva, the incarnation of God, and the plenary portion of knowledge. I am therefore asking you, O spiritual master, what is the most secure shelter in this world? Well, I'm sure the answer is going to be fantastic. Yesterday we heard Maharaj Rahugana deprecating himself as being completely unqualified, unfit, unable to understand what he had said previously. Here he's showing he's really qualified. But of course, one of the qualifications of an exalted personality is humility. Of necessity, one cannot be a recipient of descending mercy from Krishna if one is proud, filled with a sense of know-it-all and false prestige and self-importance and I don't need anything, I already got everything, I'm perfect, powerful, and happy. That's the demoniac mentality. And the qualified mentality is this one. So many nice examples. Queen Kunti is a nice example. Similarly deprecating herself, saying, I'm not qualified, I can't understand you. I'm not a learned scholar, a great sage. I'm just this feeble woman, and what can I possibly understand? But at the same time, she's showing her elevated qualities of understanding. And so on. So many wonderful examples of this. So Rahugana is a qualified person. Not only that he's humble, a further qualification is he's actually quite learned. He understands. At least he has the capacity to discern what's what. Or one who knows what is what. I was attending one class one time, and very early days of the movement, Prabhupada was describing the necessity of having a bona fide spiritual master. Right in the middle of a class, some young fellow interrupted Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, how does one know who is a bona fide spiritual master? You're saying we must have a bona fide spiritual master. How does one know? And Prabhupada just stopped the class and answered his question and said, when you go to the marketplace to buy a diamond, you have the responsibility to first know what a diamond is. Because otherwise, in the marketplace, persons will be very eager to cheat you. And they'll give you something other than a diamond and you'll think it's a diamond. So they're preliminary. There must be some understanding of what is a diamond. Then you can go to the marketplace to find a diamond. Similarly, the idea is that scripture gives some indication of what's a proper qualification of someone who can present transcendental knowledge. So there must be some preliminary understanding of what are the qualities of a bona fide representative of Kapiladeva, if he's going to say he's a bona fide representative of Kapiladeva. Not just he's speaking some I can't understand it philosophy, so you must be a representative of Kapiladeva. Some preliminary understanding. And exhibit the qualities of one who has not just theoretical but practical understanding of what is matter and what is spirit. One who is situated in knowledge of the self, atma tattva, and is exhibiting the qualities of one so situated. So, Rahugana has already done that study of Judd Bharat. He thought of him otherwise, and now we can see that not only his mind is equipoised and he's not disturbed, but he speaks transcendental knowledge, and the previous verses are describing this knowledge you spoke. It's approved by all the great yogis and great learned scholars, and you're not an ordinary person. Now it's being amplified far more than you're not an ordinary person. He's honoring him in a very special way. Kshakshad Harim in the last line. Sakshad means directly. And Harim, Lord Hari. He's calling him, you are Lord Hari. Well, he's not. But he's representative of, the intimate representative of, because he's taking the teachings of and presenting the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev. And therefore, as we sing every morning, Sakshad Hari, Tvena Samas the Shastriya, all the scriptures say, they declare, that the spiritual master is to be accepted in that way. The direct manifestation of Krishna. I'll share a little anecdotal story. In the early days, the devotees were hearing from Srila Prabhupada about impersonalism and impersonalists. And we thought it was like an extinct species or something like that. What's one of those? So he would describe very strongly about those who claim that they are God, they are dog. So we got that message very clearly. Dog. Some claims that they're God, they're dog. And then, after that was drilled in a variety of ways, the occasion was, this is from Satsrup Maharaj telling Prabhupada stories. At the first initiation, or something like that, Prabhupada said, one is to accept the spiritual master as good as God. And everyone was shocked. Prabhupada said, now he's saying, one who says he is God is dog, but the spiritual master is to be accepted as good as God. Sounds contradictory. But it's not contradictory. It's when one sees the intimate representative of God, and Prabhupada later gave the example of the ambassador. Some country has an ambassador, the ambassador is sent to a foreign country, the ambassador is to be received as the representative of the country, or the country. Just like technically speaking, legally speaking, an embassy is that country. Like in New York, and just off of Fifth Avenue, there is a Indian embassy. And when you walk inside the doors of the Indian embassy, it's the Indian government, the Indian police, and it's the Indian law. And if you violate the law, you're not subject to the United States law or New York City law, it's the Indian law. It's a little India, outside of India, legally. And similarly, an ambassador is the representative of the country, which means if something is given to the ambassador when he comes to visit a country as a gift, it doesn't go into the pocket of the ambassador, it belongs to the country who he's representing. You know, he's in big trouble if he pockets something that is given to him. It goes to is the property of the country. And similarly, in the spiritual context, if a spiritual personality is representing the spiritual master or the spiritual organization, something is given to that person, it doesn't belong to the person. It's the property of the spiritual master or the organization who the person is representing. Somebody gives a donation to one of you, the treasurer or the president. It's not the property of the treasurer or the president. Oh, look at this. Now it's mine. Like the bank teller example. Bank teller doesn't have two pockets. Everything that comes to the bank teller goes into the till. Doesn't go into the pocket of the bank teller. Oh, thank you very much. You're very kind. Oh, now another one. Oh, look at this. Very good, very good. They're criminal if they're thinking that like that. It's the property of the bank. They're just doing a service on behalf of... So the spiritual master, similarly, or an elevated personality like Jad Bharat, Sakshad Hari. The teller of the bank is the representative of the bank. The ambassador of a country is the representative of the country. And a saintly person is the representative, ideally, of God. And their words are God's words. They're simply being delivered. It's not semantics. It's not just, you know, a very nice way of saying something. It's literal. The spiritual master is to be treated that way. So just another nice incident, a historical incident, when Prabhupada was explaining this point once in Mayapur. He was lecturing one Gaur Purnima festival every morning on the introductory verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita, because each one of those verses is the headline of an entire chapter of Adi Lila. So verse after verse, each morning he was lecturing. In one morning, he was lecturing on the verse that described the position of the spiritual master. And in the class, Prabhupada was saying something he often would say, he would speak about. People sometimes say, when Arjuna was very fortunate, he could hear directly from Krishna. But I'm not so fortunate because I can't hear directly from Krishna. So how can I make spiritual progress? I can't hear directly from Krishna. And then presenting the argument, Prabhupada would present the counter-argument and say, no. When Krishna says, surrender unto me, and the representative of Krishna says, surrender unto Krishna, that is Krishna speaking. And this particular morning, he said it three times. So again, when Krishna says, surrender unto me, and the representative of Krishna says, surrender unto Krishna, that is Krishna speaking. He said it again. Then he started to go on to the next sentence, and he entered a state of trance. My assumption is that he became so absorbed in that thought of Krishna is directly speaking, he lost external consciousness. And what happened was, his eyes closed, the facial muscles of his face just drooped, and his body was tottering like a tree in the wind, just moving like this, very slowly. We didn't know what to do. And after some long moments passed, one devotee picked up the mridanga, stood up, and it was Hansa Duda, and very slowly started singing softly, Hare Krishna. And we responded, and it went on a couple of mantras, and then Prabhupada opened his eyes, looked around the room, got up off of Vyasasana, and went to his room, end of class. The message, besides that amazing experience, the message being, Same as here, Sakshat Hari. When such a person speaks, it's Krishna speaking, and it's to be accepted like that. They're just speaking Krishna's message. It's Krishna speaking. Krishna's empowering them. One can't do that without the empowerment of Krishna. And so then it goes into this other idea of Jad Bharat being... You are a direct representative of Kapila Dev. You're a direct representative of Kapila Dev. Jnana Kala Avatirnam. So, word for word translation is, who has descended as an incarnation of complete knowledge in his plenary portion, known as Kapila Dev. So in the third canto of Bhagavatam, there's a very beautiful description of Kapila Dev's appearance. And even before Kapila Dev appeared, he who was to become his father, Kalama Muni, was not even married yet. And under the instruction of Kalama Muni's father, Lord Brahma, Kalama Muni went to prepare himself to produce good praja to populate the universe that Lord Brahma had just created. He needed some living entities to fill up the universe. So he requested Kardama. Kardama was one of 11 brothers. There were 10 sages directly coming from different parts of the body of Lord Brahma. Narada from his heart and so forth. Kardama came from the shadow of Lord Brahma. Doesn't describe the technology at all, just says he came from the shadow of Lord Brahma. Brahma asked him, please assist me. And the answer was, yes, sir. And so he went to the forest. But he wasn't just interested in producing good children. He had a particular relationship with the personality of Godhead. He wanted to have as his son the personality of Godhead. So that was his meditation and his austerity for 10,000 years. And then Lord Vishnu came right in the middle of the forest and told Kardama, I will appear as your son. I know your heart. Kardama didn't say anything, but of course he's also within his heart. He knew his heart and said, I know your heart and I know what your desire is. And in 2 more days, just 2 days from now, Swayambhuva Manu and his wife, Shatrupa, are going to come and see you, just as I've come to see you, and they're going to make a request. The request is, please accept our daughter in marriage. And you're to say yes, because she's very qualified. And with Devahuti, you will have 9 daughters. And this is even before it happened. You'll have 9 daughters, and then you'll have 1 son who is going to be me, Lord Vishnu. And he left. Sure enough, 2 days later, Swayambhuva Manu came. And sure enough, he accepted, and they were married. And sure enough, Kapila Dev appeared as his son after 9 daughters. So the description of Kapila Dev in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the section of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya is discussing Lord Chaitanya's talks with Sanatan Goswami, chapter 7. At the very end of the chapter, last paragraph, it says that Kapila Dev is a Shaktyavesha avatar. Now, there are different categories of Shaktyavesha. There's multiple ways of considering that Shaktyavesha avatar. And here's 2, and then there's another 3. There are 2. Some are living entities, jivas, that are empowered with the full potency of the Supreme Lord. Example, the four Kumaras, their Shaktyavesha avatars, bearing the Lord's Jnana Shakti, or Prithu Maharaj, is bearing the Lord's Palana Shakti, his ruling potency. Lord Brahma, he's another avatar, Guna avatar, but also Shaktivesha avatar, bearing the Lord's Trishti Shakti, his creative potency. But it's also described there in teaching to Lord Chaitanya, as well as in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that there's some are Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva, but exhibiting a specific in fullness potency of the Supreme Lord, and Anantashesh is in that category of Shaktivesh avatar. He is Vishnu Tattva, but he is in the category of Shaktivesh avatar, exhibiting a specific potency of the Supreme Lord, the sustainer and maintainer of the universe, this material creation. I'm pausing just to like let that clear. Then, because I did some research, I was speaking on Kapila Dev's teaching, so I wanted to know further about the position of Kapila Dev. So there's a very nice reference book called Laghu Bhagavatamrita, written by Rupa Goswami. We're more familiar with Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Brihat means great. And that Sanatana Goswami wrote that. Rupa Goswami, taking the position of the humble younger brother of Sanatana, he wrote Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Laghu means light. Heavy and light. And in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, the whole subject matter is a description of the forms of the Lord as they appear in this world. That's the subject matter. And it's glorification, and it starts with verse by verse by verse, going through Canto 1, Chapter 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Sutta Goswami speaks of some of the principal incarnations, and he describes them. Rupa Goswami describes them. Then he goes through that same list again, and goes through what different scriptures say about those incarnations. And then he goes through the categories of avatars of the Lord, the six categories, per Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Sanatana Goswami. And of course, Lord Chaitanya didn't make up, here's a nice way of categorizing avatars. They're scriptural, so he gives the scriptural references. And when it comes to the Shaktivesha avatars, he says, there's three different categories. I can't remember them all very clearly, but in the category in which Kapila Dev falls, there's three divisions that he presents, and there's, of those three divisions, there's one, and then there's three subdivisions of that one. The science of Krishna consciousness is, you'll never find the end to it. He just presents some of, going deeper into the ocean of transcendental knowledge. So he says there's some forms of the Lord, like Mohini Murti, and like Krishna. The form of the Lord that presents Ayurveda, Dhanvantari, he says that the duration of their appearance is very short. They're lesser known, and there's some other characteristics. Then there's another category where they appear as ascetics or renunciates, sadhus. They are more famous, more well-known. Included in that list are Vyasadeva, Dattatreya, and Kapiladeva, and there's some others. They present elaborate teachings, and they make those teachings widely available. And they live for a very long time. They manifest their pastimes for a very long time, standing over not a normal living entity's life duration, of course. The Lord doesn't have a life duration. He doesn't receive a mature body. Although Kapiladeva appeared as the son of Karma Muni and Devahuti, we are not to take it that he has a material body any more than Krishna has a material body, or even for that matter, Narada doesn't have a material body, although he appears as the son of Lord Brahma. So in any case, there are two ways, just pardon my going into the detail, but it's in this verse and that prompted my speaking about this subject. And the last line mentioned is jnana kala avatirnam. What does kala mean? Prabhupada has translated kala as a portion of a plenary portion, which is interesting language. The plenary portion of Krishna is Balaram, and a portion of a plenary portion is Lord Vishnu. He's still Vishnu Tattva. He's not like a small fry or something. He's the fullness of the Supreme Lord. Just like Paramatma, the Lord of the Heart, is one of the Purusha avatars, Shiradakshai Vishnu. And we can say, you know, Krishna is in the heart. And it's perfectly appropriate and correct. Krishna is in the heart in the form of Paramatma, Shiradakshai Vishnu. Technically, that's Kala, just as we find in Sri Brahma Samhita. And that's a portion of a plenary portion. But still Vishnu Tattva. Same category as Krishna. Krishna is, you could say Krishna Tattva, but it's Vishnu Tattva more appropriately, because Vishnu, we know from Nectar Devotion, Vishnu has 60 of the 64 qualities, and Krishna has 64 of the 64 qualities. And so Vishnu Tattva is appropriate. Krishna is Vishnu Tattva plus 4. And Vishnu is Vishnu Tattva. And all the incarnations, they're also Vishnu Tattva. Just like we observe half-day fasting on the appearance days of the Vishnu Tattva forms of the Lord. Because they're Vishnu Tattva and they make their appearance, and we honor that auspicious day in that way. So, question that I was pursuing is Kapiladeva, and the answer could be correct. Is Kapiladeva a jiva soul that's empowered with the full potency of the Supreme Lord for presenting the transcendental knowledge of Sankhya philosophy? And that way we can still honor him as the Supreme Lord. Or is he Vishnu Tattva, exhibiting the fullness of the Lord's potency of transcendental knowledge? Either could be correct answers depending upon this category, that category, still Shaktivesh avatar. In that description, Rupa Goswami gives him Lagu Bhagavatamrita. So here it seems, I didn't get the chance to read commentary of our acharyas to see what they say, but jnana kala avatirnam. It seems that he's as Lord Vishnu said to Kardama, I will appear. And he appears as Lord Vishnu, Vishnu Tattva. But then you can go the other way and say, a living entity, Jiva, that's empowered with the fullness of the knowledge potency of the Supreme Lord is Sakshat Hari. Sakshat Hari. Jnana Kala Avatirnam. So it can be either way. And so far I haven't found a scriptural reference that says, is Kapila Deva is a Shaktivesh avatar who appeared to give transcendental knowledge in this world. Is Kapila Deva Jiva empowered, or is Kapila Deva Vishnu Tattva, form of the Lord, giving a specific set of knowledge? And practically speaking, it's the same. It's in one sense interesting. Practically speaking, the effect is, it's the same. The same now going back to Jad Bharat, who is being said, he's clearly a Jiva. He was Bharat Maharaj, and then he was a deer, and then he was Jad Bharat. He's a Jiva, with different embodiments. But he is being accepted by the Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken through Maharaj Rahugana. He's also being accepted as descending into this world for the purpose of disseminating knowledge as was given by Lord Kapila Dev. He's the full embodiment of that. And even in the first line, he's addressed as Yogeshwaram. And we know who that is. That's the Supreme Lord. He's Yogeshwara. Whatever yogi, it's like Kardama Muni. He exhibited some mystic power. Created by his own mystic power, a whole flying city. And for that matter, there's a mystic power where yogis can create planets. Who can do that besides God? But a yogi can be given power that comes from Yogeshwara and create a planet, or create a city, or do mystical things, defy ordinary laws. But it's simply like the discussion that was somebody last night was asking about ESP, extrasensory perception, and turns, he told me later, there's some professor, the head of a psychology or psychiatry or something department somewhere in Florida that has ESP, and he can tell people all kinds of things about their thoughts and their lives, and people think, oh, he's a spiritual guy. But it's simply manipulation of subtle material laws. Rahugana, Maharaj Rahugana, is addressing Jad Bharat as Yogeshwara. Why? He's not God, he's not Vishnu Tattva, but he's empowered with at least the knowledge of Kapila Deva, and that makes one empowered. One who receives that knowledge and carries that knowledge and factually lives by that knowledge. He already demonstrated when the goddess Kali came bursting out of the deity and chopped up the people that were going to harm Jad Bharat. Because this is a devotee of her master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he's the servant of the master, he's treated with the same respect here by Rahugana as the Supreme Lord. Same import as Sakshat Hari and addressing him as Yogeshwara. An elevated devotee, as is Jad Bharat, it's a great offense to consider that person ordinary. And that's what he had done previously. He was considering him a Shudra, you know, worthy, a fit for just carrying my palanquin. Besides, that was very puffed up and prideful of Rahugana to think like that. I'm the master, you're the servant, so you better watch out. And Jad Bharat straightened him out in that score. But a great personality to consider them ordinary is one of the offenses.
And a Vaishnav is a great personality. In this world, a Vaishnava is a great personality, and one should not take a Vaishnava as someone who is ordinary. We do it all the time. One should not take a Vaishnava as someone who is ordinary and bring them down so that, because this is the nature of envy. That which is greater, I bring, or great, let me bring that down so that I can compete or be greater than. This is the feature of envy. And the absence of envy is one who is very great, one esteems and values. So the ignorance of Rahugana had been removed by Jad Bharat's talk and his presence, and now he's honoring him properly. Aham cha yogeshwaram atmatattvam vidam. He's inquiring from him about that which he can deliver. Atma tattva vidam. You know perfectly. Atma tattva. Please present that for my benefit. And the bottom line question he's asking is, what is the best place of shelter, the most secure shelter in this world? That's in this word. Iha aranam. Iha is in this world. Arhanam, the most secure shelter. So that's the punchline, or the focal point of his question. Good question. Because we all need shelter. And if we don't have shelter of reality, we're going to have shelter of illusion. And commonly we take shelter of illusion and find it's miserable. Instead, we should take shelter of the safe place of shelter. So he's inquiring from one who knows, from Jad Bharat, what is in this world, the most secure shelter? Of course, the most secure shelter is not in this world. The most secure shelter is otherworldly, or the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, the position of serving the personality of Godhead, the Krishna. Let's see if there's any comments or questions. You always have a nice question.
I wasn't clear what you were saying about whether Kapila was the
Vishnu-tattva or Jiva-tattva. It appears from this verse, because the word kala is there, that he's Vishnu-tattva.
Yeah.
However, it can be taken that he's empowered with the potency of Lord Vishnu, although Jiva. And thus, Shaktyavesh avatars are honored as incarnations, forms of the Lord that descend in this world. Although Jiva, empowered by the full potency of the personality of Godhead. They're also avatar. And although Jiva, they're exhibiting the full potency of the personality of Godhead, thus avatar.
So they can also be called kala.
Yeah, well, one could say like that, because they're bearing the potency of Lord Vishnu. I was researching this and couldn't get a definitive answer, because at least in the lists that Prabhupada gives of the Shaktivesh avatars, the only one category that's Vishnu-tattva is Anantashesh. It doesn't mention Kapilade, that he's Vishnu-tattva. It doesn't say otherwise, he's not. But he's in the category of Vishnu, of Shaktivesh avatar, and only Anantashesh is mentioned as Vishnu-tattva. So, it's not conclusive. This seems to be Vishnu-tattva. But it could be presented by our acharyas. I'm not one. conclusively which of the categories he is. But at least he's Shakti Vishavatar, and very, very, very powerful. And moreover, this is the part that you didn't ask, but is that Jad Bharat, because representing him, he's respected in a similar way. Sakshad Hari, that's very strong. Directly Hari. Jad Bharat is not Vishnu Tattva, but he's Sakshad Hari. Yes.
In continuing this, we're dealing with the only descriptions we have of the Pila Day being Vishnu's announcement that I will take birth in the womb.
No, but there's other language within the chapters that indicate what his position is.
Right. And then Rahugana, further down the line, accepting Kapila as good as Vishnu or as Vishnu, etc. Does the influence of just the Leela and popular acceptance in that sense, does that play into the conviction that Rahugana has that yes, Kapila was Vishnu?
Hey, if you're a scholar, you can say like that, but it's for us, the Bhagavatam is presenting not, you know, Rahugana had this sentimental idea that had to do with the history of, gee, he's a popular personality, and so he must be Vishnu, because he can present nice knowledge. He must be Vishnu. Rather, it's not presenting that, it's presenting, this is who he is.
Right. No, I understand. But I mean, we're looking for a definitive statement. But the fact that he ultimately gets accepted historically as Vishnu Tattva, does that count as part of the evidence?
Sure, but I'm not even sure he's accepted as Vishnu Tattva. He's accepted as Shakti Vishavatar. That could be Vishnu Tattva or Jiva Tattva. When Lord Brahma comes after the 9 daughters are born and Devahuti is pregnant, he appears because Kardama is his son. Now, here are his granddaughters, and he says, okay, here's the plan. The 9 daughters are to be married to your brothers, and they will produce many praja. And in the womb of Devahuti is a form of the Supreme Lord. Now, that doesn't say Jiva or Vishnu Tattva, but a form of the Shakti Vaishavatar. So it's still uncertain. And then later Devahuti speaks to Kapila Dev that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Directly, she speaks to him in that language repeatedly. So that can also appropriately apply to Shakti Vishavatar, that's Jiva Tattva. Because he's bearing the full potency of the Supreme Lord. I'm still looking for something definitive. I'm sure it's there somewhere. Just continue researching, it will appear. Yes?
Why Shakti Vishavatar doesn't necessarily mean it's a good, the good intentions, or it could be an evil person too, apparently evil to the material.
Do you have an example of what you're thinking about?
I'm sorry, I may be wrong, Maharaj, but I think I read somewhere that Srila Prabhupada mentioned that Hitler is a Shakti
Vishavatar. Whoa. None of the rest of us in this room have read or heard that one. Might have been during your sleep you heard that. He was powerful, but not, you know, Hiranyakashipu who puts Hitler to shame, and so forth. But there are little Hiranyakashipus today, such as we wouldn't call Hiranyakashipu Shakti Vishavatar. Something else? Yes.
In the third chapter of the first canto, when it's discussing about the avatars, how they're innumerable.
Yes.
Doesn't it say something like any very powerful personality is considered to be an incarnation?
I don't recall. It does go into, from that description, another category of empowerment, specifically vibhutis, like of horses, I am airavata. Of elephants, I'm airavata. Of horses, I'm uchaishrava, and so forth. So personalities can be empowering, can be bearing a material opulence, because that's what vibhutis are, material opulences. But specifically, someone who's powerful in this world, they can be considered an incarnation of the Lord.
Yeah, in the third
I know what you're
first.
I know where. I don't recall it saying that. And you know, Muhammad Ali or something. Or he said, "Shakti Vaishnava, I'm the greatest." You have a copy? Oh, beautiful! Check it out. Anything else? Yes. How do you do what? Check ourselves?
Against offenses committed against Vaishnavas, how do we check ourselves? And then in case we commit, how do we rectify them?
Well, when you say how do we check ourselves, do you mean do we know whether it's in the category of an offense or not? Or there's a tendency, and how do we check ourselves from a tendency?
The second one.
Okay. How do we check ourselves from tendency?
How do we guard ourselves?
Well, there's two main things. One is carry the proper, that is, spiritual conception, not a material conception. Offense arises, look at the 10 offenses and apply the following. Seeing something that's spiritual as material. That's present in each of those 10 offenses. So this, you carry the spiritual conception and apply the spiritual conception to something that's spiritual. That will help guard you against making the offense of considering in a material way something that's not material. And then another check, second category, is the instruction to do so. Don't make offense against the scriptures, against the Vaishnavas, against the spiritual master, against the holy name, commit sins on the strength of chanting, don't consider it karmakanda, on the strength of the instruction to do so. And related to that, perhaps a third, is the advice of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's like a pan scale. If there's a tendency to criticize, let me glorify it. If there's a tendency to consider something ordinary, let me consider it otherwise. And speak this way and act this way and so forth. You found the reference? What does it say?
It says the same thing you said, for one thing. It says something about vibhuti. It says, all the rishis, manus, demigods, and descendants of Manu, who are especially powerful, are plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord, and this includes the Prajapatis. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, those who are comparatively less powerful are called vibhutis. And those who are comparatively more powerful are called avesha incarnations.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Anything else?
The second part of the question was, in case we commit an offense, so how do we rectify it or how do we work on it?
You go to that person who you've offended, if it's particularly Vaishnava Parat, and you offer your obeisances and ask for forgiveness for that offense. That's the instruction given in scripture. Yes?
So, in this example...
Which one?
The example of King Rahugana and Zechariah.
Okay.
He just didn't recognize him.
Yes.
As a Vaishnava. But as soon as he realized his position, he immediately humbled himself.
Yes.
So then the only way to avoid something like that, I mean, you consider, you know, he's half naked, he's dirty, he's an abaduda, he's not talking, doesn't walk properly in the sense that he's doing this. So very easy to misunderstand.
Until he heard him speak.
Yeah. So it's really about how we react to once we have some knowledge. Right? I mean, in a sense, I think in a community of devotees, we tend to radiate who's where, what position.
And sure, and that's part of our part of our Madhyama Adhikari duty to do like that. But then, one of the things to, regardless of, let's say in our community or outside the community, just people, the worldly people that we run across, for a Vaishnava, one is advised, while we may understand higher position, lower position, we should always be respectful. And our speech and conduct should be accordingly. Now, we don't always act respectfully, and that can be a problem in many ways, aside from, you know, offending. Like this nice example of, classic example of, Magari was unprepared to harm or disrespect even an ant. That's extraordinary. Harisori was sharing with me, and Kaladri was also sharing with me, both of them separately, of how Prabhupada dealt with mosquitoes. Because they wanted to have Prabhupada's room mosquito-free, because when he's... So even they put up a net, they'd have this whole procedure of how they'd remove the mosquitoes. So one time, I think Kaladri was giving massage, and there was a mosquito on Prabhupada's arm. He didn't know what to do. Or flying, buzzing around, he said, let him go. But then when he landed on Prabhupada, said, ah, he's an aggressor, you can kill him. Kaladri didn't give any commentary on it, just repeated what Prabhupada said. So we respect all living entities. However, if they behave as aggressors, then there may be one behavior that we wouldn't do unless they're aggressors. In this world, there's all kinds of persons of low character. We don't go speaking about them and dealing with them, and except if they're acting in this manner that, according to scripture, one should protect. Anyway, in general, being respectful to all living entities is a good policy. Being at the same time, we're Madhyama Adhikaris, we're enjoined by scripture to have some understanding of the mode of nature that someone is operating under at, you know, at a given time, and respect accordingly. Not disrespect, but respect accordingly. So, part of what you're saying is, I gather from what you said, it makes sense. I'm agreeing with you that, except the fact that, the king was overly proud, extremely proud, considering, that's what Jed Bharat said to him, you're thinking you're the king and I'm the servant, but, you know, in the next lifetime it could be the role reversal. I'm the king. In fact, it was. Previously, he was the king, and Rahugana wasn't even born. He was a nobody. So, roles may change. Bearing that in mind, that one should not be disrespectful, as he was disrespecting Jad Bharat previously. How we regard another living being, just like your example within the community, we respect appropriate for the position of someone. And there are different categories of how you consider someone's position. Their age, their wisdom, their ashram, and so forth and so on. Different considerations. As senior to me, or whatever, you know, in the gradation of how we respect people appropriate to their circumstance. You want to say something more on that? You okay?
No.
Okay. Okay. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.